My guest at this time is Tony Perkins. He's the president of the Family Research Council. He is also the author of the brand new book, No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. And it's the story of a culture that is increasingly hostile to biblical Christianity, and several different stories woven throughout this book, along with biblical examples as well, of young Americans standing up for what they believe in, as is protected in the First Amendment to the Constitution. And Tony, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks so much for talking about this. It's an important issue.
It certainly is, and particularly the focus on young people, I think, is interesting. There's obviously a lot of different examples in the news, certainly in Kentucky as we speak with the clerk from Rowan County, Kim Davis, and other examples around the country, whether it's bakers, florists, photographers, as it relates to the debate over marriage. Why did you specifically focus on young people and the significance of them standing up to what they see as an infringement on their liberties when it comes to religious expression?
Well, you mentioned Kim Davis. I'm actually on my way to meet with Kim Davis. I'm going to give her one of the first copies of the book because she could be on the cover of this book. One of the stories I tell in this book is of a young mother, Maryam Ibrahim, who is a Sudanese woman who was imprisoned a little over a year ago for her faith. Little did I ever vision that I would be seeing a woman here in the United States imprisoned for her faith. But the reason I focus primarily on young people is that we're told that, well, look, you know, religion and this orthodox view of sexuality or this orthodox view of actually living out your faith, that's the over 50 crowd. When in reality, what we're finding among young people is a greater commitment and devotion to the truth because they've had it means something for them to say, I follow Jesus Christ. There's a cost of discipleship that these young people are paying and are willing to pay today that we've not seen in times past.
There's several different examples in here of young people from Lila Rose, who's now quite famous in the pro-life movement, and her documenting of abortion and Planned Parenthood when she was a student at UCLA. There's a story of a student who wanted to and ended up praying at his commencement ceremony. Another one who ended up recording the anti-Christian lectures of his history professor. What are you encouraging young people and really people of all ages to do as a result of these stories? Is it something specific or something more in terms of a principle as they go forward after reading this book?
Well, one, it's to live out our faith with no fear of man, rather a reverence for God. And I am trying to do something specific. I am trying to share the stories that oftentimes are not told about young people who are totally committed to their faith in Jesus Christ, to really create a subculture, not of rebellious, libertarian-minded young people. That's why each chapter concludes with a biblical figure that took a stand for their faith, laying the biblical foundation for how we do this. We don't want this to be rebellious. That's not godly. What we want to do is exercise our faith in a way that honors God, but that does, in times like we see today, bring us into conflict with those in authority.
Mr. Perkins, do you believe that our government still vigorously defends the First Amendment?
I think it's pretty obvious when you look at what's happening here in Kentucky that we have some that have lost the concept of what religious liberty is. And then the president repeatedly says we have the freedom of worship. Look, the pilgrims didn't get on a ship and come over here and half of them die in their first year here just so they could pick a new church. They came over here so they could establish a country according to the teachings of their faith. And that's what religious liberty is. It's the ability to live your life according to your faith. And that's what we have to aggressively defend and exert as Christians in this country.
As you know, there's been a pretty fierce debate over Kim Davis in particular, but religious liberty in general, whether it's the rights of business owners with respect to marriage or whether it's government officials who are being asked to do things that are contrary to their faith. And even among conservatives, it's a pretty vigorous debate. Some say if you have a job as a government official and that's the court ruling or that's the law, regardless of what your beliefs are, you have to enforce it. Others say no, conscience and free religious expression has to take precedence. So how do you react to debates that obviously involve principles that a lot of conservatives hold pretty dear when it comes to things like the rule of law and so forth.
Well, first off, let's talk about the rule of law. An unjust law is no law at all. That goes back to St. Augustine, that, you know, there has to be a moral foundation for the law. And we have a long history in this country of making accommodations for people based upon their religious views. That's all Kim Davis was asking. This thing would not even be an issue if Governor Beshear would have simply called the legislature into session, as they did in North Carolina, where they allowed clerks to say, hey, if there's a religious conflict here, you don't have to participate in this. This is not about simply throwing off willy-nilly the rule of law. What this is about is when there is a conflict between religious liberty and the clear teachings of Orthodox religion, that you don't have to, that is not to be subservient to the passing edicts of men. You know, when you look at what we're talking about here in terms of the redefinition of marriage, this was five justices, five lawyers on the Supreme Court. The four dissenting wrote opinions warning of this coming conflict. This was not done by elected representatives. This was not done by the people. Five judges with no moral or historical foundation. This is the way that you resist tyrannical government. You do it through elected representatives, which is what Kim Davis is doing.
We're talking with Tony Perkins. He's president of the Family Research Council. The new book is No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. And Tony, if more people did what Kim Davis is doing, or more people did what the young people predominantly in your book do, and standing up for their faith and saying they're not going to take having their free expression of their faith stifled from the public square, what would it mean for our country if this were to be a commonplace event?
Well, I think it would actually heed the warning of Ronald Reagan back in August of 1984 when he said, if we ever cease to be one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. This is for the very future of our country, for democracy, is a vibrant protection of religious freedom. And that doesn't mean the freedom to believe something between your two ears and not be able to speak it. It is the ability to live your life according to those orthodox beliefs, which has long been the hallmark of what it means to be an American. We must aggressively protect that. We must aggressively pursue that First Amendment freedom in everything that we do. And we have to fight for it.
Tony, I'm sure this is next question is one you get quite a bit, especially when our laws and our government seem to be going against biblical principles in many cases. Romans 13 is basically Paul's admonition to obey government. And at that point, he's talking about the Roman government, which was certainly not friendly at all towards Christians. So how should that be understood in light of what is meant in the Bible and what we're dealing with now?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of people immediately go to that, and that. He does, in fact, tell us that we're to submit to those authorities. But when we have authorities that issue edicts that are in direct confrontation to the revealed specific word or commands of God, we're under obligation to obey God, not man. We saw that in Acts chapter 5 with the disciples, those closest to Jesus, when they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. So, Paul was saying, look, just because you don't like the government, you can't throw it off. You can't just resist it. But when it comes down to having to choose between obeying God or man, when the two are in conflict, as Christians, we have to obey God. Now, that does not absolve us from the consequences, as Kim Davis is saying today. She spends her sixth day in jail. But God bless her. She has more courage than most politicians in this country combined, because she's willing to stand for her faith. And if more elected Christians in this country would stand up and resist the unlawful, unjust edicts that are coming mostly from our courts, this nation would be much better off.
Two very quick questions before we let you go, Mr. Perkins. First of all, where do you think our country is headed?
Well, under the current trajectory, not in the right direction. I mean, let's just look at what's happening on the headlines. I mean, we've been enthralled in this debate over Planned Parenthood over the last month and a half, as the curtain has been pulled back on 43 years of abortion on demand, where we're now parting out babies as if they were junked cars down at the junkyard? Is that the kind of society we want to live in? We're about to enter into an agreement with Iran that may pit us against one of our strongest allies in the Middle East, Israel. Our economy is teetering, and we're seeing people that are not rapists, not murderers, not drug addicts, but Christians being thrown in jail. I would say this is a troubling time for America.
Lastly, sir, what do you hope folks take away from your book more than anything else?
I hope that they will live out their faith in such a way, in a real, authentic way, that it impacts the world around them. And bottom line is that we have to come to a point where we have a greater fear or reverence for God than we do a fear of man and what they may say or do to us.
Mr. Perkins, we will call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, and best of luck with the book.
Hey, thank you. Great to be with you.
Tony Perkins is the president of the Family Research Council. The new book is No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.